All right, let's start off about Christopher Dawson Creek Bear. He came in here on Thanksgiving Day, won the pool because I said he was going to come on Thanksgiving Day, and he did. He's two doctor's appointments, doing really well. On Thanksgiving Day, me and him had a long conversation about our relationship, about Grandpa, whatever he wants to call me, that he needs to come to me and we'll get things straight. But he's doing really well. The family's doing really well. That was truly one of those blessed days for everybody. So I don't have a picture for you, but I have plenty on my phone. So if you want to see him, all you got to do is come to me and I'll show him to you. All right. We've been on my journey, and I've been talking about this. This is the journey that I wanted to take on this study of how to do my walk with God. So we're lesson number four into this. And our lesson this morning is walking in all of God's ways. So as I studied this lesson and started working on it, it's one of those moments again that I realize there's a lot of areas that I need to improve or work on. As I walk this walk and y'all walk with me, hopefully though you can see some areas that you can improve on and work on it. You know, those lessons we had prior to this, we talked about fully surrendering, making that decision, fully surrendering ourselves to God that we're going to do this journey, that I'm going to do this journey. And then we talked about being filled with the Spirit, the Spirit of the fruits and the healthy stuff of being filled with the Spirit. And we talked about establishing our faith that we want to walk this journey. And all those lessons were nothing but a warm-up. Now the journey gets harder because now we decided we're going to do this, we prepared for it, and we need to start walking that journey. And these lessons forward are pretty simple. The concept, everything is really simple, but there's nothing easy about it. You know, I use this slide as for the warm-up. Carla, you've ran marathons before, and you've walked marathons before, but you realize the concept of running a marathon is pretty simple. You start at the starting line, and you run to another line. Don't get any simpler than that. But go try to run a marathon without doing all the prep work. And see how far you'll get, right, Carla? It's a whole lot harder than the concept. If you come to the morning classes, we're talking about Proverbs. And the main theme about Proverbs, Jerry will tell you, is common sense stuff. It's easy to understand if you truly want to understand it. And the walk with God is simple and easy to understand. But as we'll talk about, it's not as easy as it seems. It's difficult. It creates difficulty because we're not spiritually fit to do it yet. That's why we got to grow. So we want to talk about this morning. But it comes down to it's simple. We got to go this journey. We're going to go my way. Or we're going to go God's way. We can't go two different directions at one time. Try to go jump on 95 down here and jump north and south at the same time. It ain't going to work. You're going to go one direction or you're going to go the other direction. And that's how simple following God's word is and his walk with Him. We got to decide we're no longer going our way, we're going to do God's way. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you, there's going to be times that we get off that off-ramp and turning the head back the other direction. But that's why we need to be constantly evaluating our Christian life to see that make sure we're going in the right direction. Because that road is still there. We can jump back on and hit in the right direction at any time. The scripture that was read earlier was 1 John chapter 2, 4 and 6. And it says this, "He who says, 'I know him,' but disobeys his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps his word in him, truly the true love for God is perfected. The true love of God is perfected by obeying God. Basically what it's saying there. By this we may be sure that we are in Him. And who says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walks. There's our lesson. In walking in all of His ways. The very end of it. He who says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Our lessons from Proverbs this morning. This is the very thing that we were talking about this morning. Walking in God's ways and His wisdom. Exodus chapter 18. Moses' father-in-law comes to him and gives him some advice about handling his people. Moses is trying to... Moses is trying to do this on his own. And this is the advice that his father-in-law gives him. In Exodus chapter 18. And thou shalt teach them the ordinance and the law, and shall show them the way within they must walk, and they work that they must do. We got to show people God's laws. We got to show them the way. And it's to obey God and to follow His will. That's our responsibility. In Deuteronomy, it tells us this. So we're going to do a few verses out of Deuteronomy. And see the theme here? Walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that ye may live and prosper, and prolong your days in the land that you will prosper. Some of the same stuff that we're talking about today. You want to have a longer life? You want to prosper in this life? You need to do God's will. We need to walk as He walked, in all of His ways. In Deuteronomy 10, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, it tells us this. And I want to turn this verse around here in a minute. And I want you to look at it in a little bit different way here in just a moment. But it says this, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience with Him. See that thing going? To walk with Him. To love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your souls, and to observe the Lord's commandment and decrees that I may give you today for your own good. Let's change that. That was said about 4,000 years ago. Let's change it just a little bit. Because what we need to understand and realize, God doesn't change. God's the same He was in the beginning, back then, and now, and forever. Let's change it. And now, Edge Hill Church of Christ, what does the Lord your God ask of you? And I'm a part of that. Remember, this lesson is about me. What does the Lord your God ask of you and me? But to fear God, to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to Him, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, to observe the Lord's commandments and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. The message doesn't change. If it's given 4,000 years ago or given today, the message doesn't change because God hasn't changed. We need to realize if we want to have prosper as a Christian, we need to walk in God's ways. Let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And do the same thing. Verse 28, verses 9. The Lord will establish you as His holy people. Do you realize that? You are still God's holy people. Just like they were back then, you are today. As He has promised you on oath, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. God's promises never fade. what He has promised for us and what Christ has promised for us is still here today. And He hasn't changed one bit. His promise, His requirement for us hasn't changed. Even over 4,000 years, it hasn't changed for us. This one, I have what I call a love-hate relationship with this verse. I love this verse. But I hate how I handle this verse. Because I realize that this is probably one of the areas that I struggle in my life. Because I'm a determined individual. And Psalm tells me in 119 and verse 133, direct my footsteps according to your word, and let no sin rule over me. This is where I struggle. I don't know where your struggles are, but sometimes I want to set my path. I want to do what I think is right for me and my family. And sometimes I'm not listening to what God has directed towards me. I'm not looking for the answers, as we talked about this morning in Sunday school, for those answers. Going to let those to give me the right answers. And that last part, I struggle with sin. We all struggle with sin. At times I let certain sins rule me. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit more here in just a moment. But this is my love-hate relationship reverse. I struggle with this one because I love what it says and what it means. Sometimes it just conflicts with my daily life. We need to understand this. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us this. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. God is our Creator. He's the one that designed us, made us, and He owns us. Those who create something owns that. And that's what we need to realize. We belong to the Lord. Let me tell you and give you some reality, and we're going to have some more reality here in a minute. It doesn't matter where you're at in life. At the end of the day, He's going to choose what to do with you. At the end of the day, and come judgment day, everybody out there and everybody in here, He will have His free will with. Right now, we have the free will. We have the choice to go down our own path or go down His. But on judgment day, He will have the final say and the final word what He does with His craftsmanship. He's going to do it just like a manufacturer does. Oh, this is a good piece here. Oh, this has a lot of major defect. You throw it out. Where do you want to be? The result at the end is going to be the same. God has control over everything. I would rather be on that day on good and faithful servant. You've won the race. You stayed in the race. You stayed focused, which we'll talk about here in a little bit more. But we got to understand, He created us. He owns us. At the end of the day, He has control of what happens to us. This verse here, we've read it many times. You've seen it probably over the years 1,000 times. But I want to give you some thought to think about it. We're told, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, that second part, we don't understand or we don't accept. The second part lays it out. Resist the devil, and he will flee. He has no choice if you resist him. We put ourselves in this boat. You go all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden. They basically had one rule to follow at that point. Don't eat of the forbidden fruit. Satan says, here, take a bite of it. It tastes good. Does it really create death? And Eve and Adam both could have said, nope. I'm not doing it. And what would Satan do? He's not going to force it on them. He would have fled. He may have came back, but he would have fled. And they would have won that battle. Now, let's put it to perspective today. When we face sin, all we got to do is resist. It's easy if Satan come to me and gave me guacamole, because I can't stand guacamole. I would resist that all day long, because I don't like guacamole. But we like, listen to what I'm saying here, we like what Satan has to offer. Do we not? We like the sins that he gives us, because he knows what we like. But all we did to resist it and say, no, Satan, he has to flee by God's commandment. But we got to understand, we like the flavors he gives us. We like the taste of sin. And we need to accept that in reality. Because Satan will tell you this, blame me. Satan made me do it. Or tell him, I can't help myself. Satan will give you all the excuses. But we got to realize and understand the fault is within us. Because if we resist in any way or form or fashion, Satan only has one option, and then that's to flee. We need to accept that responsibility. That we are the ones who are accepting the sin. All we got to do is resist. Now, we talked about it. Simple concept, ain't it? You just start here, run here, you're done. But until you start running, and then your legs start hurting, your body starts hurting, you run out of breath. 20 minutes into it, I can tell you I'll be out of breath. Trying to run a marathon. But this is all we got to do. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, it tells us this. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. All we got to do is walk with the Lord. That's all we have to do. Follow his ways, and we'll stay in the light. But the question is, how do we do that? It's easier said than done. I'll run a marathon today. Okay. How far will we get? How do we walk with God? Listen to the Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who delights in his law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, you want to resist Satan, you want to do this, walk in all his ways, it's right here. It's right here in his word each and every day. It's the guidance he gives us. He shows us the way each and every day. If we're just willing to meditate and focus on him each and every day. Because he offers everything to us. He provides everything that we possibly need. We talked about it this morning, that if we would just follow his wisdom, we'll prosper. Psalms chapter 18, verse 30 through 31 tells us this. God's way is perfect. There ain't no better way. You can't make a better path. You can't follow a better way. Even your own way is not as good as him. All the Lord's promises proven true. He's always going to be reliable. He is our shelter for all who look to him for protection. He's our protection. For who is God except the Lord? But our God is our rock. There is no better place to be than in the Lord. If we can learn that, as we talked about in our class this morning, I love this class, it's so much reflected. Proverbs, it repeats itself. You know why it repeats itself, as we talked about in class? Because we're hard-headed. We're hard learners. We don't just take it the one time. You have to repeat it. Then we need to realize that God has everything and focus on those things. The Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Psalms 119, verses 105, we have everything right here that we need. Everything. To abstain lives for eternity. We just got to accept it and realize it. You know, it says in 1 John 1, verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sins." If we walk in the light as He is in light, He constantly purifies us from all sins. Because that's a great news to hear, because I realize, and you remember that verse I struggled with? That sin keeps popping up. Satan doesn't leave me alone. He brings me my favorite chocolate cake every time. He knows what I like. He knows what flavor of sin I like. He knows what kind of sin I like. He brings it to me all the time. And thank goodness that the reconciliation that Christ made by dying on that cross, we're continuing to be pure and wash that away. Ephesians 5:2 tells us this, "And walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." What Christ and God was willing to do for you is incredible. It's unbelievable. We got to realize and understand what sacrifice was made for us. That He, knowing that we won't walk down the path that we need to walk down every time, He knows that we're going to be tempted by Satan. He knows that this race is going to be simple but not easy. He knows that. But He was willing to die for us. Remember, He died while we were yet sinners. He didn't wait for us to get our act together. He did it while we were yet sinners. He died for us. That's the value you have in Christ. In Colossians 1, verse 10, "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord." No, that's a hard one to think about. "That we may walk worthy of the Lord," realizing what He did for me and what He's done for you. That's a hard one to do. "Unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good works, and increasing in the knowledge of God daily." Brothers and sisters, it's pretty simple. It comes down to this: keeping your eyes focused on Jesus. You remember I talked about a couple of weeks ago, I think it was 2-3 weeks ago, this Sunday was my last lesson. I was talking about Peter walking on water. You know, that thing got me rolling in my mind. Can you know how we read over verses? We kind of tell the story and people paint pictures of how what verses look like. And I remember all those pictures of seeing Jesus and Peter walking in water. You see Peter walking outside the boat like this, and Jesus is standing right there. Read that scripture. Go back and read that scripture. Because Peter could not recognize Jesus that day. That means he was far enough away that he couldn't tell that was Jesus. Because if he was right outside the boat, he'd be able to see Jesus and understand that was Jesus right there. So Peter walked on water for a while. The concept I always grew up with and understand, oh, a couple steps and he's just sunk. He walked on water for a while to reach Jesus. Because it says in Scripture, Jesus reached out and grabbed him when he sunk. He was right there in front of Jesus when he took his eyes off Jesus. So he was able to walk. The things that we're able to do, as we talked about a couple Sundays ago, we're able to literally move mountains if we have the faith. But the problem is we don't have the faith in God enough to move mountains. But we have the ability. That's just not a saying. That's just not a thing. We have the ability to move mountains if we have enough faith in God. Peter walked on water for a distance. And then what happened? He focused on the storms, the seas. And I guarantee you, this is what was going through my head as I was reading again this morning while I was sitting back there. This is what I imagined. Peter walking on water and Satan going, this is not working out very well. Peter is realizing he can walk on water. And I know Satan was throwing the waves higher and higher and the closer he got to Jesus. He says, I got to stop this somehow, because what kind of faith will he walk out of here with if he's able to walk all the way to Jesus and walk all the way back to that boat? So Satan was throwing everything he had at him. And right before he got to Jesus, Peter took his eyes off the Lord. And he sunk. And Jesus told him, "Oh, ye of little faith." I can imagine Jesus. "You were right here, right at me, and you turned away. Kept your eyes off me." And so often we go through that path. We have those struggles. We are strong as Christians. We walk that path. But something throws us off a little bit. But what the key is, just like Peter, we got to stay focused. Because brothers and sisters, you need to understand this. You're going to realize this. You're going to stumble and you're going to fall. You're going to sink into that ocean. But what you need to understand is you need to stay focused. Because if I take these glasses off, y'all are nothing but a bunch of blur. I need to keep the focus on Jesus and get up and stay on track. Carlos, if you didn't see her back there when I said she runs marathons, she said she walks. Sometimes we're walking as Christians. Sometimes we don't have the strength to run. Sometimes we're just plugging along. And Brother James, I appreciate you this morning because you are limping this morning and walked up here to serve the Lord. Sometimes we're limping. And sometimes we're struggling. But what we need to understand and realize, we need to stay focused on Jesus, stay on track. Don't head back. Don't let Satan tell you those lies. Get back up. Don't get discouraged. Because look at what Peter accomplished in his life. Especially after their death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. What he accomplished. You have the same ability in you. All we got to do is stay focused and on track. Satan's fighting us every bit of the way. Just like Peter walking up to Jesus. He's going to throw everything he has at you. Just stay focused. You get off track, put it back on. I don't know where you're at this morning, but I'm telling you, I'm four lessons into this, and I told you I'm creating these lessons as I go. It has been a changing for me on my perspective as a Christian. And I grew up in the church. I'm realizing, seeing there's a lot of areas that I need to fix. There's a lot of areas that I'm struggling that God says it's a simple fix. Just follow me. Stay focused on me. So this morning, as you come with me down these journeys that we're taking on these lessons, hopefully I can encourage you as well to take this journey. Remember what I said time and time again on these lessons. I can only give you a picture of what I'm seeing when I study this stuff. It's like that vacation I talked about a couple Sundays ago. I can show you a picture of this and a picture of that. But what I saw and what I experienced, I can't express in the 20 to 30 minutes that I have with you this morning. So one of the biggest things I encourage you this morning is to do this type of study. It will make a difference in your life. But this morning, I don't know where you're at, and I know this congregation is a loving and one of those congregations that brings us so much encouragement. I received a card this week that actually encouraged me this morning and after that baby was born, that we can. This congregation is constantly there for me. And that way we can be there for you. You know, I've said time and time again, a prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and our elders are godly men. So when they pray over you and pray for you, it makes a world of difference. We're getting ready, a couple lessons down the road, talk about prayer. And I really got something really special for you next Sunday, because I'll be here next Sunday to share with you. I shared it with the elders this morning and got their approval to move forward with it, but I really got something special to show you next Sunday along this lesson. So stuff that I've learned and stuff that God has put in front of me. Hopefully it will help you like it's helping me. I don't know where you're at. I know where I'm at. I know I need a lot of work. I don't know where you're at this morning, but we're here for you. If there's anything we can do for you, why don't you come now as Jerry will be up here to take your petitions to God as we stand and sing.